chapter number 40. I feel like I'm in a weird mood. I didn't even know how to describe it. I feel really serious. I feel happy. I feel burdened. I feel mischievous. I don't know what's wrong with me. Is that like bipolar or something like that? Maybe that's what the problem is. I don't know. But I'm not taking medicine. I'm having too much fun in my sicknesses, whatever they are. Isaiah, thanks, brother. Love you too. Isaiah chapter 40, please. Like I mentioned before, a little bit of a deviation here from the book of Mark, and we will be back there next week. I do not plan on changing the way we've been progressing through different books. I've been enjoying so much preaching through my Bible just methodically and studying it and just seeing the wealth of information, knowledge, practical applications. It's just been wonderful. I've really been enjoying it. But this week we're going to take a quick deviation. We're going to preach on something a little different the Lord laid on my heart. And I really contemplated on whether or not to do this. And I really believe this is what the Lord has for us this morning. And then the one thing that was kind of holding me back a little bit was the fact that, you know, I want to preach a salvation message or be able to, you know, clearly with a little bit of time given to it, work salvation into every Sunday morning message. And I think that's very important, especially since they do go out on the internet as well. And of course, you can always do that from any passage anywhere in the Bible. Amen. And if you're a soul winner, you'll learn to take any conversation anywhere at any time and do that with it. Amen. But this morning, then, we don't have any first-time visitors here. And as far as I know, most everybody here is saved. If you're not, you've already heard it. And you just need to wake up and get it right this morning. Amen. But the rest of you here, I believe, are saved. So this just kind of comforts my heart that I know I got what God has for us. I'll try not to keep you long. I'm going to try to move through this message fast. But I try that every week. So it's just you and you'll come back anyhow, right? So 12:30 is good enough. All right. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 28, common passage of Scripture. You all know it. Hopefully you can have it just about memorized. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Brother Josh, would you ask the Lord to bless the preaching this morning, please? Amen. I'm going to use in my introduction here just a brief piece of my own personal testimony, and I ask you to forgive me for that. I can't stand going to church and hearing about somebody. It's about Jesus Christ. Amen. And you're going to get that. You'll understand that as we preach. And most of you here this morning, I don't feel like I need to make any more explanation than what I've already done, because I think you know my heart and the heart of this church. But to introduce this passage of Scripture, it's something that I heard and had been taught and had, you know, kind of known in my head for a long time. And yet it never truly sunk in until very recently. I'll never forget being a young preacher called to preach, having surrendered my life to God and being in Bible Institute and absolutely being on fire for Jesus Christ. I was so excited about serving the Lord, and I had such a burden for souls and such a desire not only to preach, you know, the whole grandstanding piece of it, the carnal piece of it, but a desire to be a soul winner and to see people saved. That's the personal piece of it. So there's part of it that's immaturity for sure. And there's also part of it that's genuine. And I truly and genuinely had a desire to serve the Lord and to see souls saved and to get something done for God with my life in the middle of my very arrogant and proud and immature attitude and immature motives. And I remember going to my preacher and just with that sense of urgency, that desire, that fire, that zeal to get something done for God, and just kind of, you know, pouring my heart out to him and watching him sit there and just be like, you need to just wait on God. And I think souls are dying and going to hell. The world around us doesn't know Jesus. There's so much to be done, and you want to keep me here because I'm one of your preacher boys and you want to build your own church. And I'd start thinking all those thoughts. I'd get frustrated. I not only get frustrated with him, but I get frustrated with God, feeling like, Lord, you know, there's so much to do, and laying down at night, not able to sleep sometimes because I felt a call to preach and a desire to get out there and get something done for the Lord with my life. And there was a lot of zeal there, and that's okay, but my zeal ran ahead of my brains. Amen. I remember driving past gas stations, and not just to be mischievous, but just being so fired up, you know, the Word of God like a fire in my bones. Driving past gas stations and rolling down my window and slowing down enough so that people are pumping the gas could hear me real clear and shout out verses about salvation. There's Mrs. You know Smith over there with the kids in the car pumping her gas. And I'm, if you don't get saved, you're going to burn in hell. The Bible says. I mean, screaming at people. Just on fire for God. I'm a little nut, man. Crazy. But I was sincere. I really was sincere. I remember Brother Lynch telling me to stop being in such a rush. He was not a smooth guy. There was nothing about him that was, you know, political or gentle or sweet. I mean, he was not smooth, but I knew he loved me, and, you know, I took it from him. He said, stop being in such a rush. At one point, he handed me a box of matches and said, go set the world on fire, and walked out. just a jerk, you know. You couldn't help but love him, you know, but he's such a jerk. And just feeling frustrated. Just angry. Wanting to accomplish something. A church called in Illinois. I was 26 years old. My preacher said, don't take it. They offered a parsonage. All my expenses paid. No utilities. Pay my cell phone. The whole nine yards. No expenses. And $525 a month to live on. Not bad if you don't have any bills to pay. And they wanted me to come and they wanted to grow. They wanted to see souls saved and they wanted to go somewhere. My preacher said, don't do it. You're not ready. And I thought, who the heck are you to tell me I'm not ready? I have a personal relationship with God, and God will tell me himself if I'm not ready. Who do you think you are? Besides, I was raised in a preacher's home. I know all about this. And I took the church. And I was on fire for God. We started 87 ministries. Just a little bit of exaggeration, but we started quite a few. And guess who was running all the ministries? You're looking at them. Come on, people, here we go. And they're like, yeah, there you go. We're going home and eating some more turkey. And, you know, I mean, man, those people could eat, man. It was a farming country and they could eat. And there I went starting more ministries. I had a wife. She was 21 years old. We'd been married right at a little over 2 years. I'd already moved her three or four times in that little over 2 years. We'd relocated at least three times. It might have been four. That might have been our fourth relocation. It was our fourth relocation. She had miscarried a baby and had a six-month-old baby there. And I brought her into a mess. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is that I wish I'd have listened to what the preacher said and learned to wait on the Lord. And it's by the grace of God that I'm here this morning and that I'm still married and that we're in love and growing more in love as time goes on. It's by the grace of God. What I mean is this by way of introduction to the message. I think one of the most important things we can learn is to learn to wait on the Lord. If it hasn't been for God's mercies and God's goodness and God's grace and God's loving kindness and His tenderness and His gentleness and His patience toward me and then giving me a prudent woman, I would not be here today and we would not be married. She had no idea I was going to say any of this, or she probably would have been in the nursery or something, you know, filling in for somebody. But God's been good to me. And I put a lot of pain on myself and a lot of pain on my marriage and a lot of pain on my wife. And I can say that now because we're not struggling like, oh, I know what's going on there. No, you don't. I put a lot of pain on us that I didn't have to put on us because I hadn't learned to wait on God. And some of you this morning, you're not fired up about the ministry per se, but you're not learning to wait on God. And you're going to get into a lot of pain because you're not learning to wait on God. Whether you have interest in the ministry or in the call to preach or desire to serve the Lord or the desire to see this church grow or you don't, you're backslidden and you're just here this morning. Either way, you better learn to wait on God. Because if you learn to wait on God, it'll save you a lot of pain and it'll get you farther down the road for a longer period of time. I want to see three things this morning and I am going to do my best to move through them quick. Three things this morning on why we ought to be a people that learn, why Bible Believers Church needs to be a church that has learned to wait on the Lord. The first reason you see is in verse number 28, there's a purpose to waiting on God. In verse number 28, it says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary." There is no searching of his understanding. There is a purpose to waiting on the Lord. You see, when he sums up this passage of scripture, he tells us to wait on the Lord. When we say wait on the Lord, that doesn't mean sit down and cross your hands and cross your legs and don't do anything. To wait on God literally means to expect something from the Lord. To look for something from God. It has to do with an idea of serving, like a waiter in a restaurant, like serving somebody, like coming to see what they want and what they need and going to get specifically what they tell you and then to come back and say, is there anything else that I can do for you? But the person who's waiting is not rushing. The person who's waiting is simply sitting back to receive instructions and taking the time to know what the person they're serving wants from them. That is waiting on God. We need to be a people who wait on God, and there's a purpose to waiting. And you see the purpose is right there. Hast thou not known? Don't you realize, folks, this morning that there are some things about God you and I don't understand? I don't care how spiritual you think you are. I don't care how much Bible you think you know. I don't care if you walk around with Mr. Doctrine stamped on your forehead and you are just like the guy who has the Bible memorized and there's no question we can bring up that you don't have an answer to. You know what every comma stands for. You know where to put every dispensation all the way down the line and you can sit there and pick the preacher apart or pick anybody else apart and know where they're wrong. There are still things you don't know about God. Even if you know it all about the Bible. There's a difference, folks. There's a difference between rattling off facts about the Bible and knowing the God of the Bible. I want to get to know my Savior. I want to get to know my Heavenly Father. Can I tell you something about God? He has never hurt me. He's allowed pain in my life and He has disciplined me. But God has never hurt me to say I am not better off than I was before. God has set me back. I cannot say that this morning. I'll tell you one thing about God. He's been better to me than this little sinner deserves. I've got a great God and I want to know God better today. I'm useless as a preacher. If we get to the end of 2014 and this year that we got coming and the things we want to do and we're excited about doing for God, but I am useless as a preacher if I'm so busy run that I have not grown in my knowledge of the Lord. I have some questions I want answered. Life can get pretty rough. Have you ever had to sit down with somebody and say, Brother, let's pray about why this is happening to you. It doesn't seem fair. You ever seen somebody like Jamie Gardner whose daughter's going through that and then this thing happens and he says, you know, he's still trying to praise the Lord in a message on Facebook, a messaging back and forth with me. He's still trying to praise the Lord and give the Lord credit and give the Lord glory. And we think we know God. All I know is he's not trying to hurt me. I can't understand. There are some questions I have in my head that I don't have all the answers to. But I know some things. I know something real for sure. God's good. He promised he is. And he gets glory out of my life, and he promised he would. I want to know the Lord. There's a purpose for waiting on God, and that purpose is to get some questions answered. To gain a greater understanding of the God who sent His Son to die on the cross for us. I mean, folks, if He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary for me, to descend into hell in my place, to rise again the third day, and ever living to make intercession for me, if His Son is there telling the Father, I know how bad He messed up again, Father, but He's mine. He trusted me. I love him. I'm taking care of him. It's all right. I paid for it. If that's what's going on between me and God today, then I know one thing for sure. Even though things might not add up and they might not look right, I know God loves me, and I know God's got some good things for me, even in my pain. But I don't get the answers to that stuff if I don't learn to wait on him. Something else will happen if we learn to wait on God. We'll gain knowledge of the holy. Look at verse 28. He said there's no searching of his understanding. You realize you cannot exhaust his understanding? You ever meet somebody that knows God that you would say, that brother, that sister, she knows the Lord. He knows the Lord. I mean, there's something about their life that's just different. There are some guys I like to get around. And I'll be honest with you, Mike Veach is one of them, and he'd shoot me if he heard me saying this. But he's one of them. I'm a motor mouth, though. You all know that. But with Brother Veach, I could just sit around him and just be around him. I could just follow him around. Just hang out with him. I just feel like the guy knows the Lord, and I just like to watch him. You know, you realize you can live to, he's 60 years old, you can live to 70, you can live to 80, you can live to 90 years old and still be learning more about God and still not have exhausted his understanding. You know why eternity is going to be so sweet? We're going to really get to know him and grow in him, be more like him. It's going to be exciting. Look at Proverbs chapter 9, if you would, please. Proverbs chapter number 9. Proverbs chapter number 9, and look at verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now watch. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The Bible told us over there in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, there's no searching of his understanding. Proverbs 9:10 explains what understanding is. Understanding is nothing more than the knowledge of the holy. You want to know something? Listen to me for a minute. When I say the word holy, you start thinking drinking, smoking, you know, cursing, drugs, fornication, adultery, pornography, right? That's what you start thinking, isn't it? That's child's play, folks. That's child's play. You realize how many people I've known and you've known who got all these standards and all these rules and all these regulations, and they live up to everything that they know they're supposed to be, and they'll walk around bragging about their spirituality and how they're so much more separated than the next person, and have the filthiest, most ungodly, most wicked, most judgmental, most self-righteous, most evil hearts of anybody on the planet. You see, you can't look at me and judge whether or not I have an understanding of the holy by what I put on or don't put on, or whether or not I shave my face, or how short my hair is, or whether or not I got an earring. Yeah. You can just spit shine the outside and make it look just right. And inside it can be as black as coal. Amen. You can walk around proclaiming the love of the brethren and carry with you in your heart a bitterness and resentment towards somebody else, or a rebellion towards somebody else, or a dislike towards somebody else, and just be as wicked as the devil in your own heart, while everybody else can look at you and say, what a holy person. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you truly holy? The knowledge of the holy is understanding. Do you have a knowledge of God? Do you have understanding? Who here is going to say, oh, I got it? I mean, it's been only recent in my life that the whole definition has even clicked in my head. The definition, let alone the mastery. You think I got it mastered? I wouldn't stand here in the pulpit and lie to you saying I got it mastered. Are you kidding me? But you know what we're supposed to be doing, folks? We're supposed to be waiting on God. And as we learn to wait on the Lord and walk with the Lord and serve the Lord and patiently, calmly in our spirit and in our mind with some peace and some joy and some comfort, wait on the Lord, we will grow in our understanding and in our knowledge of the Holy. Do you know the Lord better than you did at the beginning of this year? If not, then friend, something is wrong in your heart. The issue is your heart. The issue is your desire to know the Lord. You can run around this church serving Jesus and lack true holiness and lack a true walk with Jesus Christ. Have you grown in your knowledge of the Holy? You know what I like about this? Go back to Isaiah, but stop in chapter 11 before you get to chapter 40, please. Isaiah chapter 11. Look at verse 9. You know, we've had people come to this church and they come over a rebellious spirit. Yeah. It's like, you know, well, they don't believe he doesn't preach all the extra standards like all the other preachers. And they don't have Baptist on their sign. And they think they're going to get here and find that we're a bunch of rebels who just go against everybody else just for the sake of going against everybody else. And they just get miserably, miserably frustrated as time goes on. Because the point isn't, you know, whether or not we're different or whether or not we believe and preach all this extra biblical stuff, the point is truly preaching the Bible. Amen. And if you truly preach the Bible, you know what that Bible does in you? It does a work of holiness in your life. And if you've got a black and rebellious and bitter heart, you're just going to get more frustrated as time goes on. Isaiah 11, look at verse number 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You know why waiting on the Lord is a priority in this church? It's a priority for your pastor. It's a priority for the associate pastor. It's a priority for the deacons. It's a priority for every member, the nursery workers. It's a priority for everybody. You know why? Because what happens when we wait on the Lord? Well, we grow in our knowledge of Him and we get some questions answered. And as we grow in our knowledge of Him and get some questions answered, what happens? There's no hurt. There's no destruction. Isn't that, I mean, you know this is a prophecy here of the millennial kingdom. You realize that this is the generation that's coming when the Lord's ruling and reigning. But folks, if He's really in control of this church and if we're really growing in the Lord, what happens? There's no hurt. There's no destruction. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. The knowledge of the Lord brings peace. It brings comfort. And it builds. It doesn't destroy. Isn't that a blessing? You know why you need a pastor that waits on the Lord? Because you don't want a pastor that hurts you, do you? I've seen it. I've sat in the pew and watched it happen. I've sat in the pew and watched preachers rip the church apart. I mean, personally attack people from the pulpit, personally insult people from the pulpit, trying to get everybody where they want them. And the next Sunday, nobody shows up. I've seen it with my own two eyes. You know what it takes to keep any man from doing that? Waiting on the Lord. Getting to know Him better. And a guy that gets to know the Lord better doesn't hurt you. He doesn't destroy you. He helps you and He blesses you and He helps your family and He strengthens you. You might not like Him. You might not like His personality. You might not like every decision, but He's not going to hurt you. Now, enough about me. How's your marriage? When's the last time your wicked little mouth hurt your husband? When's the last time your rude and selfish spirit hurt your wife? Well, we're just not getting along like we used to. All right, I'll tell you what the problem is. You're not waiting on the Lord like you ought to. Well, you know, it's just, no, I'll tell you what the problem is. You're not waiting on the Lord like you ought to. If you were growing in your knowledge of God, if you were drawing closer to the Lord, if you were waiting on the Lord, if you knew a little more about the holy and had a little understanding of God, then you wouldn't hurt each other. There wouldn't be destruction in your marriage. There would be a building in your marriage. There would be peace and strength and love. And we all go through hard times and you're still going to fight, but it'll be all right because you enjoy making up. Amen. You can smile, folks. You can laugh. You're allowed to if you're married, okay?
What did he say?
Yeah, man, we fight like crazy. We don't hide it. We go at it right in front of people. With whatever, man. But we make up and put, it's okay, I love you. Hey, man, this is the real world. I'm not preaching perfection, but I'm telling you that if you're both trying to grow in the Lord, if you're both waiting on the Lord, it's going to be all right. It's a priority. But number two, there's power to waiting on the Lord. Look at the power that comes with it in verse number 29. He giveth power to who? To the faint. He giveth power to the faint. Let me tell you something. I didn't think when I was young and fired up about serving God, when I was 21 and 22 and 23 and 26 and 20, I did not think I would ever wear out. I did not think the day would come that I'd ever quit on God. I even said what some of you say, and I said, I'll never go back there. I'll never quit on the Lord. This is it. I found what I'm supposed to do with my life. I'm not quitting. I've gotten down in the altars and said, God, no matter what it takes, no matter what you have to do to me, no matter what the pain, put me through it so I can serve you and be a great man of God. I didn't know what I was asking. Let me tell you something, friend. In reality, you are gonna get wore out. You're gonna get faint. If you've been serving God any longer than 2 or 3 years and going at it, trying to serve God, you get to where you get over the honeymoon, the excitement fades away, and you start getting tired. I mean, there are times you're going to say, you know what, I could go to church tonight, nothing else is going on, but I just don't feel like it, I'm tired. It used to be exciting, preacher's been a little bit dry lately, he's been kind of preaching some duds, I don't know what his problem is, but, you know, he hasn't said hi to me in 2 stinking weeks, and, you know, the old lady, she won't shut up but yelling at me, and the boss is an idiot, and, you know, it just doesn't seem to be as exciting as it used to be. It's got to be the church. It's got to be the preacher. Last week I said hi to Sister So-and-so and she just snubbed me and I'm just staying home. I'm getting a little tired. Listen, if you learn to wait on God, then when you get wore out, God will help you get through the times that you're tired. We do get faint, but he didn't just say he helps them. He says he gives power to the faint. I've served God sometimes when I was past my limit. It shocks me. It blows me away. You come up and say, man, look what God's doing and look at the people that got saved. And in the early parts of our church, I was working a full-time job and all everything else going on and just run. I would know I am so stinking backslid, it isn't even funny. And walk in the pulpit and preach and somebody gets saved. And they go, oh, praise the Lord, you're so spiritual. And I'd be like, are you nuts? God, you fooled. I was tired. How many times I've come to church because I have to come to church? I've told you that. I get paid, right? I got to be here. You come voluntarily. God bless you. I got to be here. And I've been past my limit. I'm just being real with you, like Rudolph says. I'll be real with you. I'm past my limit. And I get up there and I start preaching and God starts blessing. And this little preacher is just sitting there going, man, God, you are so good. I can't believe you doing this. And he gives power to the faint. Some of you are tired tonight, this morning. You see, tonight, you see that? You're tired, aren't you? You carry the burdens and the loads of life and the frustrations and the struggles. And you get wore out. And if you're not careful, what you're going to do is you're going to be an Esau. He came back from the field and he was tired. And he was so hungry, he sold his birthright for a cup of pottage. He said, you know what? What's it going to do? What good's it going to do me if I die anyhow? I'm exhausted. I'm wore out. I can't do this anymore. Sure, Jacob, fine. Have my birthright. Just give me some food, man. I'm exhausted. That's not the thing to do when you're tired.
The thing to do when you're wore out, the thing to do when you got questions, the thing to do when you're faint, the thing to do when you just can't go anymore, when you're just done, when you're sick of it, when you're bitter, when you're angry, when you're rebellious, when you just feel like, doggone it, it's not supposed to be like this, and you're wore out, the thing to do is turn to God and wait on God, and He'll show up with some power to keep you going a little bit longer. He gives power to the faint. You remember David and Ziklag, don't you? Bible says he was so brokenhearted and tore up, he wept until he had no more power to weep. He cried his eyes dry. I can see him sitting there just, oh, have you ever felt so much pain that all you could do is just kind of in your gut, just, oh, you're just done. You know what happened right after that? He encouraged himself in the Lord his God and went out and won a great victory and got back everything he was weeping over that he thought he lost. And then some. Ain't that interesting? You know what you do when you get wore out, when you're faint? You quit. You don't pick up your Bible. You don't get on your knees and pray. You don't start seeking the Lord. You don't push through to get a little bit of power for the faint. God's got power for the faint. I'm glad today that God doesn't sit there and look at me all the time and say, well, he ain't doing quite as much as he used to, and it looks like he's backing up a little bit, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to crush his head. I'm gonna make sure he gets a flat tire, and then I'm gonna make sure that, you know, DTE messes up his records and charges him too much, and I'm just gonna go there and just mess with my kid and just smack him around a little bit. Sometimes when you're tired, God recognizes you're tired, and he recognizes you're weak, and he comes in with a little bit of power, but he ain't gonna give that power if you're not seeking him and waiting on him to get the help you need when you need it. Some of you are tired and you're too proud to tell anybody. You're too proud to come talk to the preacher. You're afraid you're going to be judged. Well, then just go get a hold of God. You know what else he does? To them that have no might, verse 29, he increaseth strength. He takes people that are strong, but they don't have any might. You see, One guy's faint. When you're faint, you're falling out, right? A great illustration of fainting would be the first time I went out running and my wife had been running and I decided I was going to go running and I was going to show her what's up. Glory to God. And she said, honey, we need to go this way. And I said, why that way? And she said, because the hills are easier this way. I said, woman, we're going that way. She said, honey, I'm trying to tell you. I said, you want to go that way? You go that way. I'm a man. I'm going that way. She said, why didn't you let me push the stroller? I said, you run, honey. Just be a girl. I'm pushing the stroller. She said, honey, are you sure? I said, we're going that way. I'm pushing the stroller. You're being a girl. Let's go. Fine. We went that way. A little ways. We hit a hill. The hill she was talking about, she'd rather be running down. We were running up. I was pushing the stroller. She was next to me. And she's a sweet, timid, and humble little lady. So she was saying, are you okay, dear? Are you all right? And I'm just... I'm fine! And she's just coming. And I'm pushing the stroller. I'll take the stroller. No! And I'm telling you, the whole world started turning black, and things were swirling, and I am not playing, man. I don't care how tough you think you were or how much you want to save your pride, you couldn't have done it either. I was laying on that ground holding the grass going, I don't want to float into outer space, laying on my back. That's faint. The strength is gone. That's faint. But see, verse number 29. To them that have no might. Wait a minute. Some of you this morning are pretty strong. You're not fainting. You're not quitting. You're getting excited about serving the Lord. Amen? Come on. Yeah. I know I'm not jumping off the pulpit and stuff, but help me a little bit. I might jump if you help me. Some of you want to serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. Thank you. You're excited. And I'm getting somewhere with this message. Now, just hang with me. You're getting more and more excited, aren't you? Yeah. There's some cool stuff happening around here. Isn't there? You got a little bit of strength. That's kind of neat. You know what's going to happen? Mark it down. You're going to get tired. You're not as strong as you think you are. And neither is your preacher. Early on in this church, I had in my mind for year five for us to be at least two times what we are today. Two times what we are would be put us about 250 people. And that's what I thought I could handle. And the Lord looked at me and said, you look in the mirror and see 6'5", I see 5'6". All right, son, we're holding you back a little bit. Because I'm not as strong as I think I am. Right, fellas? Right, fellas? Thank you. You know, just because you wear your T-shirts two sizes too small doesn't really mean your muscles are big. Amen. Now, you're getting some strength, but you need to wait on God so you can increase your strength. Ain't that cool? I know one thing about the Lord. He's going to give me more strength as time goes on if I'll wait on Him. See, if I want strength because I got things I want to do, it ain't happening. Because he can't trust me with it. Because it'll be about me. But if I get strength because I learned to wait on him and I love him, he gives me the strength and we move forward. You see, we need to wait on the Lord because there's power in it. Remember Gideon? He's hiding, scared to death, and God, the angel of the Lord, shows up and says, "Hail, thou mighty man of valor." That's funny to me. You need to think a little bit when you read your Bible. He's chicken. He's laying there. And God says, "Hey, what's up, tough guy?" And God means it. God sees a mighty man of valor. Man, honest with you, God sees some mighty men of valor today. And you might even be scared, but God sees a mighty man of valor. You remember Saul? You know the story. You've been in church long enough. Saul's running scared to death. God's going to make him king, and he's a little chicken. He's taking off. Everybody's like, "Wow, look at Saul." And Saul's like, "Not me." I'm glad God sees things you and I don't see. David killed a lion and a bear just to get him ready for Goliath, a demon-possessed freak. I'm trying to tell you this morning that I know it, and I'm getting somewhere it's going to get personal here in a minute. Personal not to you, but for our church. I know, and you know, and some of you have already told me, that God's calling some young men in this church to preach and laying on their heart a burden for the mission field or a burden for something to do more for the Lord. God's working on my heart, Chad's heart, Josh's heart. He's doing a work. And I'm excited. I'm real excited. But you know what I want to do right now? I want to wait on the Lord. We need to let God strengthen us and develop us and build us. And this year is going to be an exciting year. But we got to keep things in order. And the first thing in order is Jesus Christ. It's your walk with the Lord. He goes even farther. In verse number 30, waiting on God. And the power that comes in it, in verse 30, even the youths, he said, shall faint and be weary. And young men shall utterly fall. You know what God said is going to happen to some of you? You're going to fall. Some of you are going to get tired. You're going to get weary. You're going to give up. You're going to get to the same point that I got to a few years ago, whether you're called to preach or not, whether you want to serve the Lord full-time ministry or not. You're going to get to the point that I got to where you take your Bible and you pick it up off the seat next to you in the car and you throw it on the floor and you say, "That's it, I'm done, forget it." And if you think that couldn't be you, you're the most likely to fail. He said even the young men shall faint and be weary. The youths and the young men shall utterly fall. You're just not as tough as you think you are. You're not as spiritual as you think you are. You don't know as much as you think you are. You don't love your preacher, your church, or your God as much as you think you do. You're in the flesh and you're weak and you've got to wait on God to get there if you're ever going to be faithful. Oh, I love this church. I would never. I've seen people start things with the right attitude. And over time, they change. They start out humble and sweet about whatever they're given to do. And before long, you can watch that attitude morph. And the position somehow just changes. People start out with a great friendship and they love you, love you, love you, and then something changes. Right? What makes us think that this thing couldn't fail? Well, I'll tell you, the only way it's not going to fail is if we learn to wait on God as a people. If we learn to walk with God as a people. The young, the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But, verse number 31, this is the last point of the message. The priority has got to be on waiting. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Hey, you're back there, back when you were 21 and 22 and 26 and that burden for souls and that lack of ability from time to time to sleep. I mean, I'm a little better at it than I was, but that lack of ability to sleep and that desire to get something done for God starts stirring in your bones again, and you start getting excited again, and you want to get something done, and you see people the way you ought to see them, as people that need Jesus, and you see Christians as you ought to see them, as people that just need help serving the Lord, as sinners saved by grace, and things start to stir up again, and you start to renew your strength in God, but this time it's a little more real. This time it's not puppy strength. It's like, hey, you know what? I realized I couldn't do it. And now I know He can. Because they wait on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord renew their strength. We have people in this church that were out of church for a while. People in this church that were just going to church because it was the thing to do. And God's starting to stir in our church a little bit more than ever before. This is a weird thing this morning that there's no first-time visitors. I think God's in it. No lost people, but usually we have lost people with us every Sunday. And first-time visitors coming in the door, we started sending out the letters and didn't realize how much work it was going to be doing the follow-ups with visitors. Praise the Lord. You know what God's doing, people? God's stirring in us and building us and strengthening us. We're getting a little bit of that excitement back that we had when we first started the church. That anticipation when you come in on Sunday morning of who's going to be here and what's going to happen this week. You remember that feeling from the storefront? Like, wow, we just don't even know what's... Back then it was like, what nut's going to come in and jump up and start yelling at the preacher during the service? Or, you know, hey, it was just kind of cool stuff. It was exciting. We're getting a little bit of that excitement back, that anticipation back. But folks, it comes if we learn to wait on God. I had to put aside some of my desires and some of my visions and some of my dreams and some of the things I wanted to do. And for 2 or 3 years now, we've just been hearing the Bible preached and just been coming faithfully and just been waiting on the Lord, trying to see God do some things and build some people. The Bible says in that verse, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. He says, hey, it's not just going to be like it was before. This time, there's some rest and some joy and some soaring involved in what you're going to do. He said, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I don't want to burn out. I do not want to burn out. That scares me more than anything on the planet. It's just, what's wrong? Some of you older folks, do you know what I'm talking about? What's wrong, brother? I don't know. Are you okay? Yeah, everything's fine. So there's nothing like wrong? Not really. Well, why don't you have the fire you used to have? Why aren't you excited about serving the Lord like you used to? Why aren't you winning souls like you used to? Why don't you read your Bible and pray with the same passion you used to? That's burnout. That's a lot scarier than laying there gasping for breath because you've been running so hard. That's scary. You know what God said He'll do if you'll wait on Him? He'll let you run without getting weary. He'll let you walk without fainting. Church, we need God. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. You know why? There's a work to be done. And if we become this, excuse me, I'm sorry to even mention names because our brothers and sisters in Christ in other churches and other camps, God loves them. You understand that? and cares about them, and we ain't no better than anybody else. But just to spit it out there, that Hiles mentality, and that's not a shot against him or all people from that camp, but there's some that get that mentality of push, 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 work, work, build the church, build the church. Where were you Thursday night? Where were you for Sunday school? Where were you for Sunday morning? Where were you for Sunday night? Where were you for Wednesday? Why aren't you here for the discipleship? Why aren't you here for the soul winning? Go, 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 go. It burns people out. Amen. That ain't the focus. You know why we're here this morning? We're here because Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us from our sins. And He's got instructions for us in His book that'll help us build a life together. It'll help you build a marriage, and it'll help you raise children, and it'll help you walk with the Lord and stay clean in a dirty world, and it'll help you serve God. So we need this book. But the purpose of waiting on the Lord, listen to me, the purpose of waiting on the Lord is not so you can sit there and get fat on the spiritual food God's given you. Amen. It's not so you could sit there and just, well, we just wait on the Lord around here. We come here only to serve and only to worship and only to wait on the Lord. And no, the whole point of waiting on the Lord is so you can run. It's so you can fly. It's so that you can walk and not get weary. So you can serve God and do something for the Lord with some joy in what you're doing. Your walk with Jesus Christ is not just all about you and all about your spiritual fatness, but it's about you getting nourished and strengthened and helped and encouraged so you can go out and serve God with your life and work for Him. I want to be found working when the Lord shows up. I want to be found discipling people. My schedule's filling up more and more with discipling people and meeting with people. We're talking about Bible and more. I mean, it's exciting to me. I want God to find me busy working for Jesus Christ. But I don't want to just be working because everybody's going to ask me where I was. I don't want to just be working because the ministry has pushed me to this level of commitment. I want to be working because I love Jesus Christ, because I'm in the Bible, because I enjoy doing what I do. My wife and I are so serving the Lord together. I want it to be a joy for my family, a joy for my church, a joy in my soul in serving Jesus Christ. And that won't happen if we don't wait on God. If we don't walk with God. This coming year, September 2014, I've already told you we're going to start a Bible Institute. And I've been blown away by how many people are saying, I'm in. Oh man, when are we starting? And my wife said a bunch of the women are asking me about it. Is it just for, you know, no, it's not a preacher thing. It's a discipleship thing. And if the Lord's calling you to preach, it'll take care of itself. It'll work. It'll work. It'll fit. The Bible just fit. It'll fit whoever comes. And we're going to do a great job with it by the grace of God. But I'll tell you the honest truth. I've been putting it off for years. I asked Pastor Chad yesterday, we're in the Finance Committee meeting. I said, how long? And I was thinking we've been talking about it a year. You know, he said, well, we've been talking about it 2 or 3 years. So we were talking about it in the parking lot at the storefront. But you want to know something? It hasn't been time yet, but it's time. September 2014, it's time. I just know it. You know why I've been putting it off? I got burned out with a bunch of young guys that wanted to come and talk the talk and milk me for rides and for money and for everything else, and drain my time and drain my energy and call me in the middle of the night and wake me up and drive me from Brighton to South Lyon at 2 a.m. to break up a fist fight and go represent them in court, sit in court for 2 and 3 hours waiting for a chance to talk to the judge. I got burned out with it. And then they quit. You realize it wouldn't burn me out if they were sitting here today ready to preach and fired up about serving God and dating a good Christian girl they're thinking about marrying and doing things right. Thrill my soul. It would thrill my soul. I put more into them. But I got burned out with it. Some of you are saying, yeah, I want to enroll in the Bible Institute. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of the printing ministry. Praise God, we're going to have that. Thing's exciting, man. Can I just say this? Before you go charging in whole hog, why don't you wait on God? We got a few months. The printing ministry probably will not start. I know it won't start before January, but it may not be till February. We also have another opportunity to start preaching in the jails in a Dickerson detention facility downtown. And two guys have already volunteered. Every other Monday, we'll be in there. Two guys have already volunteered to take a Monday every month and head it up, and we can bring up to three or four more guys in with us. That's an awesome opportunity. That's a great opportunity. You know what God's done? God's built the people here. People have been sitting here saying, I want to do something. I want to do something. I want to do more than just sit. I want to do. And I've been hearing you for a year and a half say that. And I'll be honest, the thing that hasn't given me peace about it is I just don't think it would be right for me to commit to two more Monday nights a month and to do all the Bible Institute. And it's just, it wouldn't be right. I'll be so wore out. I won't have time for you or for my appointments through the week. Just be exhausted. But God's put the men here. I can't run a printing ministry on top of everything else, but God's put the people here. And people are saying, I want to serve. I want to be a part. I want to do something. All right, then let's do this. Let's wait on the Lord. You haven't given up. You haven't quit. Some of you haven't. Your fire hasn't burned out. It's built up. Can I tell you the truth? You're going to get tired. About 2 months into the printing ministry, it's not going to be as exciting as it was at first. Let me tell you about 2 weeks into Bible Institute, after your first test, it's not going to be as exciting as it was at first. But we're committed. We're going to be working. We made this decision, Pastor Chad, Brother Josh and I, we made this decision and we're not backing out of it. We said if two people show up, it's two people. If people move from all over the country, we'll be blown away. We're not expecting any of that. We're just going to serve who comes. We're putting the work in. You know what the reality of it is? The reality of it is you get tired. But church, if we are going to move forward for Jesus Christ, if we're going to do these things the right way, we got to work together so no one person gets burned out. And number two, everybody that's committed has got to learn to wait on God. But waiting on God doesn't mean I'm waiting on the Lord to see if I'm supposed to and I'll start working next time. No, waiting on the God means walk with God throughout your service and He'll strengthen you and He'll build you and He'll help you. And you know what He'll do here? He'll build us. And there's no telling what we can get done for the Lord together. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Brother Rob is coming to sing. But let's be honest this morning, folks. One thing you and I need is to learn to wait on the Lord. You know, you may have problems in your family. You may have problems with your children or who knows what your problems are. You may have all kinds of questions. The Lord may have dealt with you with something I didn't even speak about this morning. But can I tell you the answer to serving the Lord is waiting on the Lord. I want to learn to wait on God. Will you pray with me? Will you come down here and Brother Rob start singing in just a minute and just put your heart on this altar down here this morning and just say, Lord, I really want to learn to walk with You. I want to learn to wait on You. Lord, I think You're dealing with my heart about the Institute. I think You're dealing with my heart about the printing ministry. I want to be more of a soul winner, whatever issue you may have in your personal life. But God, I got to have Your help. Help me learn to wait on You. Why don't we gather around down here this morning and put ourselves before the Lord and let Him strengthen us as He sees fit. Father, bless the invitation now if you would in Jesus' name. Amen.